They were single and went walking, and her heart did skip a beat. As she stumbled on the sidewalk, he murmured, "Careful, sweet." Now the wedding bells have rung, and they walk the selfsame street. When she stumbles on the sidewalk, he just yells, "Pick up your feet." Fulfilling your wife's needs by leading her has many ways of expression. But in general, the ways are two, practical and sentimental. Which is the higher and better? It's merely a question of appropriateness under the circumstances. Love must express itself very often in a warm home, groceries, and clothes. But let it not be concluded that your leadership may not express itself in acts of pure sentiment. The heart has needs, too. Sympathy and tenderness and friendship are just as real and more enduring to your wife than a warm house. Sometimes a flower is more important and meets more needs than flour. Sometimes a word of happiness from you is better than being in an increased salary bracket. There is no capsule we can take, teacher, or give away that will cause our masculine ways to turn to tenderness and caring communication. Only God can build such a bridge between a man and his wife. Yet this way, paved by God himself, is not a community carnival ride in which the husband sits and does nothing while he is whisked through various spiritual changes in his spirit so that he is sensitive and, in his attitude, so that he openly communicates. The admonition to Timothy is not, "Wish to show thyself approved," but "Study to show thyself approved," in 2 Timothy 2:15. Thus we have this chapter on leading in tenderness. Help your group be realistic about what they're learning, because when they go home from the time together, it is out of the lab and back to the real. To many of the husbands, it would be like going to a movie. Sometimes when you come home from a movie, it's still in your head and you try to live out the part and always discover that it doesn't work in real life. Some husbands may go home and try to tackle everything at once, but they will have old habits hanging on. Jeremiah 13:23 says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil," indicating that change is hard. So I would encourage you to be less of a spiritual cheerleader to them, as Moses' sister Miriam was. She beat her tambourine and sang one day, yet she was in spiritual despair a few days later, asking, "Is the Lord among us or not?" in Exodus 17:7. But rather be more of a Moses to them. He got from God what they should have and was faithful to help them properly appropriate it in areas of need. It will be the force of the Word of God that allows them to meet needs that they are not accustomed to meeting. They will see how Jesus was involved with women who had emotional needs. For instance, in Luke 7:11 through 16, we have the story of Jesus interacting with a woman of Nain. Realizing she had emotional needs during the funeral of her only son, he went to her first, though he knew all along he was going to later perform a miracle and raise her son from the dead. Jesus is not anxious in his attitude toward women. He doesn't deal only with surface issues. He reached out to meet her emotional needs. Verse 13 shows, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not." What he was saying was, "Don't cry. I know you have needs and I'm here and we'll meet those needs." Do we respond to our wives like this? Do you see needs even behind her Christian smile sometimes? God does. In Isaiah 63:9, he tells us, "In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them." Does your wife know that in all her cares, you are touched? She wants to know that you will go through things with her. Isaiah 43:2 gives us a God pattern in performing our role as leaders in tenderness. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." The care also has as a part of it communicating. You may be thinking, "Well, we don't talk, but often merely exchange words, not meanings." And words sometimes can get us into trouble, as you've already figured out. It would be nice if we wore portable screens on our foreheads, and when we said something, there would be a picture image of what we just said. She could see mine, and I could see hers. After all, a picture is worth 1,000 words. But since there is no such thing on the market, let's look at some attitudes in effective communication. A study of the epistles on the topic of communication might help us to know how to change our unholy deadlock back to the holy wedlock we began with. Ask yourself these questions. First, am I willing to have my point of view changed? Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Wisdom in communications comes from above. Ephesians 4:23 affirms, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This implies dynamic in change. We can only have this if we are secure in our relationship with the Lord. Secondly, can I put myself in my wife's shoes? Ephesians 2:19 tells us that we are fellow citizens. We must respect one another as persons. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men. Hebrews 13:3 asks us to develop the ability to empathize. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Thirdly, am I so much concerned with my plan that I lose track of God's plan? Philippians 2:21 reminds us, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Do I allow my selfish ambitions to dominate my communication with my wife? Fourthly, am I more concerned with my being right than in building up my mate? Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Another verse is 1 Corinthians 10:33, and it gives us the right perspective for sharing. It says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many. How do I do that, you may say? Well, love is the key. 1 Peter 1:22 says, love one another with a pure heart fervently. A couple of don'ts are, don't grumble. Philippians 2:14 makes that very plain. And don't argue and wrangle about words. 2 Timothy 2:14 implies that it's useless. Fifthly, do I always assume the best from my wife? 1 Corinthians 4:5 asks us not to pass judgment, but to wait until the Lord comes. That's His job. If there is room for doubt, always give her the benefit of the doubt and assume the best. You're fulfilling your wife's needs by leading in tenderness through her emotions and through what she says, or your lack of doing so may go undetected by others, but it does not go undetected by God. It is in His way that we have everything to gain and nothing to lose.